Hello, Jess. It's Bowie here.
Hello, Bowie. How are you?
I'm good. How are you going?
Oh, I'm doing okay. I'm a little tired right now. I did a crazy CrossFit workout. You know, those crazy CrossFitters. Did one of those today. So, I'm feeling it a little bit right now. But other than that, I'm doing great.
Nothing a good drink won't fix. Have you got your Truly or whatever? What are you drinking today?
I am drinking a Truly right now. And yes, I deserved this. I deserve at least five of these from how much I worked out today in this workout. So don't judge me. I'm going to probably drink at least five of them during this podcast.
Oh, I'm so jealous. I feel bad. I didn't work out today and I feel like a loser. But I'm still having a drink because I feel like a loser. So there you go.
Here's the thing. You can still, it's 5 o'clock, right? It actually is 5 o'clock here. So it's time for a drink, regardless if you worked out or not. So hopefully everyone else out there also has a drink and can join us with that.
Yes. Well, do you know what I've been doing there, Jess? Because all I wear are these bloody CrossFit sort of underbra thing.
Like sports bras, right? That's all I really do. Yeah.
And I like them because they don't have any padding and they're pretty flat. So you look a bit skinnier.
And they're comfortable.
Yeah, they're comfy. And then I was like, well, I can't wear them with some top. So I do need an actual bra. And I just literally haven't bought a new bra for about 300 years.
Seriously, so same. Honestly. Yeah. I'm like, I don't remember the last time I bought a regular bra because I don't really wear them.
No, I know they're so annoying and they're ugly. I think they're ugly. Anyway, so I was like, oh, I'll get a bra. Now, where do you buy a bra in America? And someone said, oh, Victoria's Secret.
Yeah. There you go.
I was like, really? Because in Australia, we only know Victoria's Secret as the Victoria's Secret model show, you know, the runway show.
Wait, you guys don't shop at Victoria's Secret in Australia?
I mean, we didn't used to. It might be there now, but back in my day, no, we don't. We didn't shop at Victoria's Secret.
Oh, wow.
So, like, I came over here and I was like, what is this store?
Yeah.
I did DJ at Victoria's Secret, actually.
Oh, did you? Yeah. No, I really feel like, this is coming from the lesbian over here. I think the go-to place to buy a bra, even though I don't wear them really, is Victoria's Secret. Not that I don't wear bras. I just, like we talked about, we're always working out. So I feel like I've transitioned into only wearing like sports bras.
Yeah,
so.
And it looks cool to wear like the loose top with the sports bra underneath. Well, that's what I would think. But not all tops. So I was like, oh, I better, because doing these bloody Zoom calls because we're locked up in quarantine and you can see I don't have a bra on. Like, when your top's loose and I'm like, oh my God, I look homeless.
Yeah.
So I'm like, okay, I better buy a bra. So I was like, I ordered online and I feel like I've got fatter in quarantine. So I was like, I'm normally a B cup. And when I look at my boobs at the moment, I'm like, they're definitely bigger. So I was like,
hey, that's a plus. There you go.
Yeah. I was like, they're definitely bigger. A B cup is just not going to cut it. I'm going to order a C cup. And it's the first time in my life I've ordered a C cup. So I was like, wow, this must be like, I'm becoming a woman.
Quarantine, I'm becoming a woman.
Yeah. So I freaking order a C cup bra with as little padding as possible, but you know, every bra seems to have padding here. And it arrives in the mail. It's freaking huge. It's like a mum bra. It looks bloody ridiculous.
Well, why did
a massive gap? Like,
how did you really think you had gained that much weight to go up a full cup size?
Well, obviously it was an illusion because literally you could stick a whole fist in my bra cup. Like, it is, I am not a C cup. I mean, does Victoria's Secret run big or something?
No, actually, I don't think it does. I think it runs pretty accurate. I don't know. You didn't obviously take your measurement because you can't go into stores right now, right? Like, you just assumed. You were just guessing.
Yeah.
Yeah, I don't.
Well, I've always been a B and I just thought I was a little bit bigger, so I'm a C. But no, apparently C is a big jump.
I mean, to go
big
up
jump.
A full cup, I feel like that's a lot. Like, you'd have to have gained, like, I don't know, 40 pounds. I don't know.
Oh.
Like, that seems like a lot of weight to have gained. And Bowie, I've seen you. You haven't gained any weight.
Well, no, so I've reordered a B cup. So we'll see. Stay tuned, everyone, to find the update on whether a B cup is actually my size. Well, maybe we should ask Jocelyn what her bra size is. I mean, no, let's not do that. Our next guest is actually...
The first question we ask her is, welcome to our podcast, Jocelyn. So what bra size are you?
Yeah.
She's like, what the fuck did I sign up for?
I know. She'll be like, what? We've actually got Jocelyn Alice, who's a singer-songwriter, coming up. So we're super excited to speak to her.
Yes, can't wait.
Hello, everyone. It's Bowie Jane here with Jess for Babes Behind the Beats. And we have a super duper guest today, Jocelyn Alice, who is a Canadian singer-songwriter whose debut single as a solo artist, Jackpot was the single name, went platinum in Canada and made the top 15 in the Canadian charts, which is amazing. And at 16 years of age, she was runners-up in the hit TV show Pop Stars, but since then has become quite a little renowned songwriter, having written songs for Pretty Little Liars, One Tree Hill, and heaps more. And more recently, you would have seen her on NBC's hit show Songland. Welcome, Jocelyn!
Hello. Jocelyn!
Yay! Oh, I'm so happy you're doing this. Hey.
Aw, thanks for having me. It's so cool. I'm so excited about your show.
Thank you. Yeah. Bowie, so just to let you know, Jocelyn and I have known each other maybe for, what is it, like a year now, Jocelyn? When did we meet?
It's crazy. I feel like I've known you for so much longer than that. But
it's,
yeah,
right? It's wild. Yeah. And we met through doing those shows with Marshall.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, we were in Canada doing those. And then you and I met and headed off. And it does feel like we've known each other a lot longer than that, though.
Yeah. I mean, the moment I met you, I was like, oh, I've known you in past lives. Hello again.
That's totally how it is. Yeah. But yeah. So you and Marshall, well, I guess I can just let the listeners know. Marshall is, he was previously in a band called Walk Off the Earth. And then he decided to go solo. And Jocelyn and Marshall, you wrote a bunch of songs together, right? Like you guys had this, like, tell me how you guys met.
Yeah, we actually met at a show. I was opening for Walk Off about 3 or 4 years ago. And we had a really weird night. We met and he told me he loved my music. And I was like, what? Like, I'm a huge fan of your music. I don't know how to process that. And then, you know, played the show and it was an incredible theater show. One of the best shows I've ever played in my life. And afterwards we were at a poker table and randomly Marsh and I kind of end up in the same place. And I ended up, he like taught me a game. I don't even remember what it's called. And I ended up winning all this money. And it was just a really weird night where him and I were just like, oh, so we're best friends now. Okay, cool. And, you know, recently I heard Marsh in an interview talking about me saying that it was one of those moments where you meet someone and kind of everything changes. And it's so true for both of us because I write so much of his music with him and he writes so much of my music with me and we're writing for other people. And, you know, he's just honestly one of my best friends. He's like a brother to me. So it's, you know, I actually can't even like imagine not meeting him now looking back.
Yeah, that's crazy.
Are you guys both doing solo acts and you're writing for each other, like writing, doing co-writes, but separately, I guess.
Yeah, it actually, it started with us writing for Walk Off the Earth and for writing for my project. And then slowly it was evolving that Marshall was going to go solo and start to go in a new direction. And I was really, really excited about that because he wanted to do something that was a little bit darker than Walk Off the Earth, which is so what I do, you know? So, and also him and I just get along royally. Like we fight literally like siblings and he can handle me and how annoying I am in the studio because I'm really bossy and I'm really angry and I'm kind of raging, you know?
Oh my God. Yeah. You guys really are like brother and sister. I mean, that's like how I would put it when I think of you two.
I mean, sometimes he's also kind of like my dad, let's be honest.
So good. But yeah, so that's how you guys met each other then. And then thank goodness that's how I got to meet you because then we were playing these. It was like a little promo thing for his EP coming out, right? We played those like Canadian morning TV shows together.
Yeah, we did what? Like 2 really intense days of like press and shows and...
It was like we were up at 2 in the morning. Like our lobby call was 2 a.m. Because these morning shows, like you'd have to be on set and then we would be playing music at like what, 6 a.m. or 7 a.m. whenever it like would
horrible.
Be recorded. Yeah. So me and Jocelyn had our first interactions together were great, but also like I remember being so exhausted because we didn't sleep at all for those shows, I guess.
Yeah. It's funny because I look back at that too. And like, I remember being physically exhausted, but every time I'm around Marsh or you or anyone that you know, or anyone that Marsh knows, it's like, I have so much energy because his crew is so dope. Like, I was just on the phone for like 2 hours with Erica yesterday.
Oh,
she's just like, she's the best. She's his TM and like, she's just salt of the earth kind of human. And I don't know. Amazing. I remember those days being so fucking long, but also feeling so energized, like in my spirit. Like, I left that trip feeling like so motivated and so grounded just being around you guys. It was such a good trip.
It was seriously a great crew. And speaking of that crew, Lisa played bass. Lisa Jacobs played bass for Marsh. And you and Lisa, let's get into what you guys had, because you started as a duo with Lisa, right?
Yeah. Lisa and I have quite the history. I think that Lisa is probably the person that I've learned the most with in my career. She's been by my side for, oh gosh, like 8 or 9 years now. I had a band back in the day, and for some reason, all my bands like love to break up with me. And so they broke up with me and they were like, we're done with you. I was like, but I have a show next week. And so I called, like the first person I called was Lisa. And she was like, girl, like I play the bass. Like I don't play guitar or piano. And I was like, well, we're going to make it work. You're awesome. I'm awesome. It's going to be weird and it's going to be totally cool. And it ended up being this mainly bass vocal duo around town where we just played like a lot of really cool shows in Calgary. And actually started to find out that she did in fact play guitar and piano and she was incredible at it. And so we started to pull that out and she was starting to sing on stage and she was writing all this music with me. And you know, in the end, it's ironic because she actually ended up breaking up with me again, which is just one of the biggest moments of grace that I've ever been offered in my life. She sat me down and she was like, girl, like you are a pop star and you love pop music and you've got to go after this and you've got to go solo and I'm leaving you and that's it. And I was like, what? This is not happening to me again. But I think, you know, it's just, I think when you're meant to be an artist, it's just, it's inevitable, you know? And I think she saw that. And I think she saw that it was like bigger than her. And it's now been cool. Like we're not really working together now, but just to see that, you know, her flying and going on that tour with Queen and the musical and to see her playing with Marshall. And like, she's just like, I mean, have you ever seen a girl so talented other than Jess Bowen in your life? Ever?
Lisa is way far more talented than me. Let's just literally, I mean, I give it to Lisa. She can play all these instruments. She's a badass. She also just looks really cool. I remember being like, you just have this fucking look to you that I'm like, I just want to steal all her clothes.
It is incredible to me how many times I got off a stage and like all they want to talk about to me is Lisa. And I'm so happy, you know? I'm like, oh, this is how I feel about her. This is so dope.
So she broke up with you, but like in your best interest. It wasn't like a, like, I'm sorry, don't like you anymore. It was like a, hey, like as your best friend and a partner in this duo right now, I think you need to go do this on your own. Yeah.
Well, and I think again, the universe was speaking at that time. Like I had landed this Target commercial and it was a cover song that I didn't even really want to do, but I knew I like really needed the money. And so I did it. And, you know, it started charting on iTunes in America. Like we sold 40,000 singles of that song.
Wow. Oh my God.
And I put it out thinking like, oh, this will just make me, you know, a bunch of money up front and I can just move on and like make my own music. And then I started to get all these calls from like labels and people in like the industry in America saying like, who are you? Like, what is this song? And it was Jocelyn Alice at the time. So she was like, girl, like this is a sign and it's time and you just got to jump. And it's funny because then she let me go and it took me like, I think it was like a year and a half to 2 years of me like grinding solo before I could even afford to hire her back again.
Oh. So was that a commercial? You wrote the song for a commercial for Target, is that right?
Yeah, it was actually a cover song from the 60s that I covered and they put in a Target commercial. Yeah.
Oh, wow. It's amazing how you get breaks from those things, from TV commercials, TV shows, you know, really is a good step.
Yeah, it's, you know, I think it's funny. I look back to my career and of course you guys had to bring up that reality TV show I was on as a teenager. Everyone just loves to talk about that one. It's funny though, like looking back from the time that I was 16 years old on that show until I've been 34 years old now, at some point, I think it was my aunt that told me, she's like, you realize like at some point you've been on TV pretty much like consistently in different ways, whether it's been writing for TV or film or having things placed in commercials or being on reality TV shows. And it's just, I feel like it's just when it's meant to be, it just kind of happens and things keep coming your way. And if you're working with the right purpose, and I think that this is what I really loved about working with Jess so much was I could tell that you just had that like laser focus and that passion for it and that dedication for it that was so far beyond anything that you could ever really articulate. And, you know, if you have that, I feel like everything else just kind of keeps falling into place in a weird way looking back. It's really cool.
Yeah, I mean, the reality TV stuff, though, that is like, it's an important step, really. If you, as you said, if you're doing it for the right reason, you're an actual musician, getting that exposure is invaluable. And you can really use it if like, you do it the right way.
Well, and I think you have to know what it is. Like, I, you know, being on Songland was a really refreshing experience, if I'm going to be honest, because it was the first time I was on a TV show where it was actually about the music and it wasn't about the TV.
Yeah.
And so many times in the past, you know, I was on a show, Pop Stars, I was on Canadian Idol, and they both, you know, they did things to try to control you and your schedule and kind of push you to the brink and make you act in ways that might be out of character otherwise. And it's unfortunate because it's like, you know what, it's just not about the music at all. It's all about the drama and like creating a storyline. And Songland is such a cool, it's such a cool moment for songwriters, especially because I always say this, like, songwriters are the most underrated people in our industry. They are our industry. Without a good song, you literally do not have this industry. It is the foundation of everything. So to finally have a show where the spotlight's on us, I'm like, geez, took long enough, dude. Like, it's
that's
so
crazy.
Cool.
I didn't realize that. That's true. There has not been a show yet that did this, right?
No.
This was literally the first one. That's wild to me.
I know.
Oh my God.
How
is that possible? Yeah. I mean, it's a reality TV show, but it didn't force you to do anything out of your comfort zone. Like,
no, not at all. And if I'm being honest, like, I'm 34 years old now. There's absolutely no way that would ever happen to me now. And that's a big reason why, like, I thought that I would never be able to do reality TV again, because I was like, oh, I'm too myself now. Like, they're not going to be able to control anything about me, you know?
Yeah.
But like, Songland, like, the first conversation that we had with NBC when they sat us down, they were like, just rest assured that we are on your team. And the moment that you're going to walk in there and you're going to play for these producers that are like the heroes of your industry, just know that they're on your team and they are in exactly the same position you're in and they want you to win.
Wow, that's amazing. Were the contracts worse or like, are they, or was it much better? Like, you must have walked in and gone, oh no, this is a reasonable contract.
For sure. They only took about half the ownership, which is pretty huge in an industry like that. And considering, you know, they have about 5 million viewers per episode, it's, you know, it's a pretty big marketing tool. So it's like, it's hard to give that up. And also, it's not a song I necessarily wanted to give away. I was not disappointed that she didn't take my song. I was like, oh, thank God. And a lot of me was relieved, you know?
Yeah.
But yeah, it's just like, I don't know. I'm just really, really honored to be a part of it. That's for sure.
Okay. So speaking of Songland, what I'm curious, like, how does that process work for the show? And like, also, how did you get, like, did you submit a song and then that was the song that they wanted you to bring to the show?
So I had a friend who's a talent agent and she contacted me and she was like, I know you said you'd never do reality TV again, but I'm going to submit you. And I was like, oh no, this show's cool. I would totally do that. And it was like, honestly, 6 months of kind of back and forth of like thinking that I basically hadn't gotten it. Like, I had let it go by that time. And then January hit and I got an email and they were like, yeah, in 3 days, you're going to be on the show and you need to be in LA.
That's ridiculous. Why 3 days?
I know. I was like, you wait 6 months and you give me 3 days? Like, oh my God. Typical music industry, hey?
Not to mention, Bowie, Jocelyn had just moved back to Calgary from LA at that point. Because I remember her and I went to dinner and I remember this. We went to dinner and you didn't tell me what this was yet because you couldn't. You were like, I've got this thing that might be happening in January, so I might be coming back. But we had gone to dinner the night before you were moving back to Calgary, which was in December.
Yeah, literally the month before I had moved my entire life back home. And I was like, are you kidding me? Like, what are the chances, you know?
Oh my God.
The universe works in mysterious ways, I guess.
Right.
But, where are you living now?
I'm back in my hometown, actually, which I've been kind of back and forth between LA and here for like the last like 6 months. And then everything happened with like the quarantine and I was on tour on the East Coast of Canada. And I was just like, you know what? I don't think I'm going to be living in America anymore.
Yeah. It's definitely been blown everyone's tours apart. that's for sure.
Yeah. And it also, I think, just really showed me, and I was already experiencing this as a Canadian living in America, kind of realizing like the whole American dream thing, like, isn't really true a whole lot of the time. It's, mm-hmm. it can be a dark place, you know?
Yeah.
And so I'm just like, I'm feeling so much more myself being here and feeling really grounded and just really grateful to be around the people that I love and feeling safe again, you know? Because LA was like, it was hard on me for sure.
How do you feel? Like, do you feel like in LA, because I do relate to this feeling. I don't know if you do, Bowie. I have been in LA for 6 years now, going on 6 years. And I, you know, the first few years, it was almost like the beginning of a relationship where you're in like the honeymoon phase. And it seemed like I was so excited. It was so fun. And then kind of for the last few years, I've kind of felt that like, it's almost like a loneliness, even though I have so many friends there. And I mean, I tour a lot, but it is good to be based in LA. But like, you know, I didn't feel at home there. And so like, how do you what do you feel? What did you feel when you were there?
Well, I mean, first of all, to give you a picture of how claustrophobic I felt, that it's the same amount of people in California as is in Canada. And Canada is larger than America.
So, much larger. No,
it's the same for Australia. It's like 25 million in Australia.
Yeah.
And it's spread out. Yeah.
Right? Like I've heard Australia is a very similar vibe to Canada in that way.
Yeah.
And, I come from the prairies. I come from the mountains. I'm a mountain girl. So it's like, I just felt like I could never really relax. I felt like it was really hard to find friends that I really trusted. I also just felt like, you know, the values of that city are not my values. I am not the kind of person, I have worked tirelessly to distance myself from an image in this industry. I'm very anti-image, and it really creeps into your psyche the more that you're there. And, you know, the way that I was raised, I was just told that I needed to look a certain way and that I didn't look the way that I should have looked. And I've really worked really fucking hard to like break down that voice in my head. And I just felt like in LA, it was just out of control, you know? Mm-hmm. And that aside, I just think the fact that it's so big and there isn't really a subway system or a way to really get around conveniently, it just, you're right. It just breeds this loneliness, and it breeds like, you know, even with you, Jess, like I would barely see you because let's be real, if you want to live in LA, you have to basically be on tour 360 days a year to be able to afford it.
yeah, totally.
You know, and even when you are home, it's like, and we live so close to each other. It's like, we're so exhausted sometimes. It's like, I'm not going to see you. I've been traveling. Like I'm exhausted. And this city alone exhausts me. So I don't know. I'm, you know, it's always been like my end goal has always been to write for other people and to have them come and like live with me for a week and have artists like really like cook them food and have a studio in my place and like just really take care of people. And that's how I want to make music. Mm-hmm. And that's, I mean, it's very much how Marsha and I write. Like we're very much a family when we're working together. I'll stay in his studio and like he cooks for me. And it's just a really lovely way to make music.
I mean, so Nashville.
Yeah, exactly. And which is, I've lived in Nashville. Like I loved Nashville, you know, but at the same time, it's still Southern America. Very weird.
Oh man. Well, speaking of image, I'm wondering if you were you on, I'm not quite sure, I don't want to say what labels you were on, but did you ever feel like a pressure from being on whatever label you were on? Did they give you any pressure about image and your appearance or anything like that you can remember?
Yeah, you know, I've only been signed to one label, and I signed to Sony when I was 30 years old. So I was already at a place where like no one was really messing with me at that point, thankfully. But there, you know, ironically, the only person that gave me trouble was the only, like one of the only females on my team. And it was really disheartening to me because, so basically we were on a conference call and she was like, so I saw your interview from South by Southwest. And I was like, oh, cool. And she's like, I think that you need to like wear more makeup. And I was like, did you like listen to what I said in the interview? And she was like, well, not really. And I was like, well, you know, like that's where we differ. Like that's, I don't care, you know? And at the end of the day, like, I think what you view as beautiful is very different from what I view as beautiful. And that was a really cool moment for me because Adam Alpert, who is like the guy that broke the Chainsmokers, he's huge in the industry and he's just a great guy. And he was the one that spoke up at that time and was like, I completely agree. This is like a huge part of your actual image is being anti-image. And I'm so behind you on that. So I don't know. I felt like it wouldn't have really happened to me anyways, you know? know? And I also, like, even as a kid, like, you know, I was given opportunities at 17 years old to, like, move to Toronto and, like, do some crazy stuff. I was given an opportunity at 23 to go to LA. And I think, you know, some things fell through, but at the same time, I just felt like I wasn't ready. I wasn't mm-hmm. at a place where I was going to be able to really withstand those kinds of pressures. Mm-hmm. And I'm so, so grateful that I had played probably 600 shows by the time my first single broke in this country. Like, it, I just felt so confident, you know?
Yeah. Ready to go do your radio tour and actually play.
Exact, and actually know how to play. Yeah, that's another thing. Holy, what a concept.
Yeah. You and I have had talks about this, Jocelyn, because I feel like we do feel the same way about it. It's really disheartening that the image is such, it's people put more focus on that than the actual talent, it seems. I remember even when I was, you know, in my band, the Somerset, and I mean, I won't even mention who, but I remember there was a point where we were about to film our music video, and like, you know, I fluctuate in weight, as does everyone, I feel like. You know what I mean? And especially in your 20s and your 30s, like, you fluctuate, okay? And so, you know, at this time, I had put on probably 10 pounds or something like that. And I just remember there was a person on our team that didn't directly sit me down, but was just like, all right, you know, the music video is coming up in 2 weeks. Everyone just remember the camera already adds 10 pounds to you. So, you know,
and like, you're the only girl. So it's like,
and I'm like the only girl. And it's just like, it's hard to look back. And also, like, I don't feel the greatest. I didn't feel the greatest looking back on, like, certain, looking at myself a certain way. But this, the media does that, I feel like. They want to make you feel like not comfortable in your skin, like, you know, And it's just, that's not what the focus should be on. And it really is disheartening to see that, you know, it still exists. And I don't know if that ever will go away. I hope it does. I think it's changing, but it's just, it's so, I don't know. I don't know how to explain it. It's very disheartening.
This is a topic I am so passionate about and something that I haven't ever truly talked about publicly yet, but I've always wanted to. Like, my dad was just a tough, tough father growing up, man. And like, I recently wrote him a letter and I just said, like, I forgive you, because I feel like culturally at the time, that was also the way women were just viewed. And so it must have been easy as a parent. Like you were in some way trying to protect me by saying, you can only survive in this industry if you're a certain weight and you need to look a certain way. And after the TV show, like, you need to lose 30. Like, I lost 35 pounds, I remember, after I was on that TV show. I weighed 120 pounds. Like,
God.
You know, like, I totally feel you, Jess. Like, I've gone through so many fluctuations just, and obviously I gained twice the weight back after that, because that's not what my body's supposed to look like. And I've just been through so much with my body. And if I'm being honest, like, I'm so grateful for my dad, because I feel like he really prepared me for this industry. It's unfortunate that I had to go through that. And I feel
that's true, actually.
You know what I mean? It will always affect me, and it will always be hard to overcome my head. But at the same time, when I meet a man who generally, they're always old and white, who's mm-hmm. gonna like say something, or the way they look at me or whatever, like, I'm like, oh, I'm ready for you, dude. Like, bring it on. Yeah. Like, if I can handle it from the my father, I can handle mm-hmm. it from you. And
totally.
I don't know. I feel like I'm moving forward. I'm really passionate about having a voice that's bigger in terms of, like, that topic, because I feel like this should not be happening to women anymore. And also, it's so sexist, dude.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It is so all about, like, oh, so I have to wear a bunch of makeup because I'm a woman, and I have to go on stage and not wear pants because I'm a woman.
Yeah.
And the men can just go up there and what? Literally do nothing and make the same amount of money, and they're fully clothed. Like, I'm like, dude, I'm sorry, but I can sing my ass off. I'm gonna go up there and I'm gonna sing my ass off, and I'm gonna sing a song that's gonna blow your mind, and you're not mm-hmm. even gonna think about what I'm wearing.
Yeah.
And that, this is not to say that I want to discount also like more sexualized female pop stars, because I love, like, okay, let's talk about Ariana. Like, to me, she is like the epitome of sex naturally. You can tell that she's just comfortable in that way, you know? And also the way where she's from in the Bahamas, like, it's a different culture. And like, for me, I'm just not that kind of person. So I think it's so cool in this industry, like, realizing that you can be in this industry in so many, like, Jess, you and I are somehow in the same industry, but our jobs could not look more different. And like, that's so cool to me.
Yeah. And same with Bowie. Exactly. All of us are in this, and everyone has a different, it's completely different, but we still experience the same things.
Exactly. Yeah.
But that is is interesting. Yeah, there are some people that just like exude like this sexiness to
them.
You know what I mean?
Yeah,
yeah, they ooze it. And that's like a Rihanna. That's great because it's them. And I think that's something that they embrace and that's great. But when people feel like they have to go out of their way to do it and it's like they're forcing themselves to almost, you can see through that. I feel like because it's not authentic. That's the biggest thing in music is people need to be authentic and like, you know,
so you're the actual swagger of you, like not someone else's.
Like be you and people will think you're a badass. You know what I mean? Like I'm a fucking, to me, like people call me a badass all the time. If you actually know me, like I'm pretty much just a big nerd. I just happen to play the drums and like, I'm really goofy and kind of awkward, but like, because I play drums, people think I'm a badass. I'm like, I just, I'm authentic in myself. And I guess that maybe comes off to people as badass, but like when you force it, that's when people can see through it, you know?
Yeah.
Yeah. And I, you know, I think it's such a refreshing time right now in music. Cause I do feel like people are really like cutting through that bullshit, like the audience. And they're like, oh, we can tell that your vocal was way overproduced and like, you can't actually sing. And we can tell that, you know, someone told you to wear that outfit and you don't feel comfortable. And we can tell that someone wrote those lyrics for you and you do not connect to them. Like, I feel like people are just like on high alert to that now. And it's so cool because it's like, okay, like for instance, like imagine how different I would have been as a teenager had Billie Eilish been around at that time.
Oh,
wow. That would have changed everything for me, dude.
Yeah. Oh my God. That's so true.
Yeah, you're right. Having role models like that, that are real individuals.
Yeah.
And just giving a no fuck attitude.
Yeah.
She's incredible.
She's an alien.
So Jocelyn, let's take it right back to you as a little kid. When did you start music and what got you into it? Like at what point did you go, oh, I'm musical?
Yeah, I don't come from a musical family in any way. Growing up, my life was kind of turbulent and I was a troubled kid. I was the kind of kid that like teachers just thought like I was a nightmare and they were right. And a lot of parents wouldn't let me hang out with their kids. And like, I had a lot of energy, you know, and I was finding myself to have a really hard time in school because parents were punishing me and it just wasn't really working. And I, even in elementary school, I would write these fake notes to the principal to get out of school so I could walk home and break into my house and just chill by myself and go back to school and then pretend that I came home from school. It was just like, from day one, I was trying to get out of there. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
And I had this teacher, this music teacher, Mrs. Rhodes, in elementary school from grade 4 to 6. And she, instead of punishing me the way everyone else was, she was like, you know what? Every time you act like this, you are going to do a solo in the choir. And it's funny because like, I'm not a behind the scenes person in that way. Like, and I'm not great at working in teams. Like I'm just not, I'm meant to work alone. And you know, as soon as I stepped in front of the choir, it was like, oh, I love this. And I love music and like, I love singing. And it's, I just look back and I'm so grateful that she saw that in me. And I still text with her, you know, and like, I'll ask her like, so like, how did you handle me? Like, I just don't get how you had so much calm and patience and compassion. And she was like, I just never viewed your energy as a negative, you know? And it's moving forward. I think about that often of just like, you know, maybe you're not troubled. Maybe you're just like, I have too much energy and I figure out a new way to get it out. And
so after that, you obviously fell in love with music. And when did you start like writing your own songs then? Like what was how old were you then when that happened?
So I would have been 10 years old when she started teaching me and I didn't start writing my own songs till I was like 20. So the next 10 years of my life essentially was just playing gigs. And when I say playing gigs back in the day, it was me burning a 45 minute karaoke CD set onto a CD. And I would show up. And back then I was a country singer. And I would pop it in the CD and I would press play and I would stand there and I would sing to it. And it was pathetic. And it was so embarrassing and so hard, you know, like just to be up there alone as like a 13, 14, 15, 16 year old, like,
oh, totally.
I feel like I learned so much about like how to really like handle being like awkward and uncomfortable in those years, you know?
I mean, to be on stage and to be the forefront of the stage. I mean, that's why I like being a drummer. I get to sit in the back and let everyone else do the work. But like, to be that young too and be like just by yourself on stage, you really have to figure out how to come into your own.
Yeah, you really had to come into your own when you realize you burned the wrong song onto the CD.
Oh!
And that song had the actual vocals on it, and then you were going to spend the next 3 minutes like singing along to a Dixie Chicks song.
Oh my God, Dixie Chicks. Oh my God. I need to, Jocelyn, you need to give us some video. There's got to be videos of you doing this, right? Oh, I need some video footage of you singing country. I didn't even know you were in country. I didn't know you started with country.
Yeah. I mean, coming from Alberta, Canada, like it's pretty well known for country music. So at that time, like if you wanted to play in fairs and like, you know, the Stampede and stuff like that, you basically had to sing country at that time.
The Stampede.
Yeah. Yeah, baby.
Oh my gosh.
So were your first few songs that you wrote then, were they angry lyrics or love lyrics or, you know, what was your style?
Yeah, I finally wrote like my first real song when I was like 20 years old in that first band that broke up with me. And they were awesome, man. Like we had a lot of fun. And I, it's funny because I think back to that time of what I was writing then and even what I was listening to like my whole childhood growing up. Like I've always been drawn to really dark stuff. Like I want to create a space in my music where people can feel really shitty. It sounds so fucked up, but it's like I believe that if you want to get to a whole place, you have to go through that shit and you have to really face your darkness. And I think music is such a beautiful way to do that in a healing way. And, you know,
that must
and
be intense.
Well, I think too, like with the kind of voice that I have, I think based on like I just had weird things happen in my life. Like from my junior high class, 5 people died randomly over the course of the following 5 years. So like, you know, my best friend when I was 12 died in a car accident on a trip that I was supposed to be on with her. Like it was just weird. Shit where I was really confronted with grief many times in my life at a very young age. And I think that you can really hear that in my voice. And I think if I was to sing music that didn't really bring that out, it would just be a tragedy because it gives me like a purpose to all of like the really crappy stuff that I've gone through, you know?
Yeah, it's so important that the voice reflects, you know, what the lyrics are saying. But you're so right, because I've listened to you and you have such a stunning voice. Really, I can hear the emotion.
That's incredible.
So what about your current music then? Is that you've sort of carried that theme across. So where are you heading with the current music? You've got an album coming out,
right? Supposed to be on tour this summer for a month in North America. And obviously that's what is touring.
Was that a headliner, Jocelyn? Or was that?
Yeah. I was so excited about that.
Man, it's a bummer that, everything's getting canceled.
It's very weird times, but you know, I'm just trying to like be as creative as I can in this space, feeling as like uncertain as I think we all are right now. And for me, that's like, I've just been like working on a lot of older songs and I've been really, really excited in the last couple months of the amount of features and collaborations that I kind of have in my back.
Yeah, I saw quite a few collaborations. Tell us about those. What have you got coming up or what have you done recently?
I just dropped a song with Brooklyn that I think it broke top 20 radio in America on the dance charts. So that was kind of cool.
Amazing.
And then in terms of what's coming up, I don't know if you guys have heard of her, but she's a Canadian artist here and she's really huge and she's amazing. Her name's Rhea May. And she has a couple songs with me coming out this summer. So I'm really stoked about that. And then other than that, I just, you know, I'm kind of a feature queen. Like I love working with other people. I love pitching songs to people. So I have, you know, 3 or 4 kind of dance collaborations lined up because I really love dance music. And I feel like it's such a cool marriage with what I do because generally a lot of my top lines are like darker and sad. And
your vocal is perfect for dance music.
Right? Like I love that. I love it.
So are you getting sent tracks by these producers and then you're popping a top line on, or how's it working? Recording at home?
I have been recording a little bit at home. Honestly, like I'm kind of a workaholic and I've been working on that of kind of working less, but thankfully, you know, I do have a lot of recorded songs that I haven't released yet, like a lot. So I've just been kind of like looking at my back catalog and listening to them and pitching them to people. And, you know, it's definitely a cool reminder to be like, wow, like I'm at a certain level in Canada where like I can call up this artist that like I really respect and like he knows my song. Like it's really cool.
Yeah.
So I'm just trying to really like use that and leverage that to take me to the next level, because it's, I feel like that's kind of your job in this industry, you know?
Absolutely.
Okay. Well, we've just refreshed our drinks and I have to say I could hear in the background, Jocelyn, did you just salt the rim of your margarita?
Girl, why would I drink a margarita without a salted rim? That's insane.
Classy.
I can literally hear.
Yeah, I am a cocktail whore, and through all these times, like I've been like, I can't not have a cocktail. So I've had to figure it out on my own, you know?
Yeah, good on you.
This is what quarantine has done. We talked about this. We've all experimented with the different cocktails, different alcohols that we've never probably really drank before. We're like, might as well try it because I'm basically drinking every day.
I think people are realizing how much more self-sufficient they are in weird ways. And like, I'm hoping that that really changes us moving forward.
Yes, agree.
So cool.
Like now I know Jocelyn can make me cocktails.
Let me tell you a story. I was on my daily walk and I walked by these three guys that were like probably like in their early 20s and they were talking about their sourdough starters.
Sourdough.
And they were so excited about it. And I was like, oh, fucking life will never be the same, dude. It's changed forever. This is so cool.
They're all sourdough starters?
Yeah. Whoa. So it's like you have to, I don't even really know how it works because I've clearly never made bread in my life, but it's like how to make sourdough. Like you need like a certain, like, I don't know, like yeast or something. Okay. I don't know.
No, everyone's been making bread. Like there's no ingredients to make bread. Not that I was going to make bread, but you can't make a cake or anything. Nothing.
I mean, I will say I've been kind of bored during quarantine, but like I wasn't ever thinking about making bread. So
me
people,
neither. I know. I'm like, you know what? Never going to happen in my life. Like, trust
yeah.
me.
Yeah. Give me different cocktail recipes, but like to make bread, come on. Really?
Yeah. How about the first week everyone was like getting smashed because like people are like, oh my God, I've got a hangover. I've been drinking every day.
Yeah, for sure.
Then we've all settled.
Yeah. Why would I?
Why would I? Exactly.
Well, Jocelyn, we do this thing to test your knowledge.
Oh, God.
It's a little quiz, and you have to be super smart, so we're not sure if you'll be okay with this question. Let's see. There's a couple of questions. First question, dogs or cats?
Dogs. But only ones that I'm not afraid of. Jess knows about my dog fear.
Yes, that's right. Jocelyn had told me this because she's one of the only people I've met. My mom has a dog phobia, like a legit dog phobia, and Jocelyn's one of the only few people that I feel like I've met that had somewhat of that same feeling, right, Jocelyn? You were scared of...
Yeah, and that's another big reason that LA was really hard for me. I don't think people realize how many really big
they're everywhere.
Pit bulls there are in that city and how many like kind of intimidating owners there are, you know?
Okay, next question, very tough question. Whiskey or vodka?
Well, you guys, I am a celiac. And you wouldn't think that there would be gluten in vodka, but there is a lot of the time. So I don't drink either of those ever.
Oh, you drink tequila.
I drink tequila and I drink gin and I drink wine. And I think I was violently allergic to whiskey. And looking back at my early 20s, I'm like, oh, that's what that was. Cool.
All right, next burning question, beach or snow? Oh, hang on. We're saying beach or...
Did you say snow, though?
Snow.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's what I meant, right? Didn't I?
Yes, and she said snow. Jocelyn, you are the first person to say snow out of all of our guests.
I'm not a beach person. Like, and also, like, P.S., if you come to Calgary, where I'm from, or you go to Lake Louise, or you go to Banff, which is an hour from me, like...
Oh, I love Banff.
You will say snow, too. Trust me.
Yeah.
Jocelyn?
Oh, okay.
But wait, we finally have one. Jocelyn, we tried to convince every other person why snow is better because Bowie and I love snow because we love the mountains. We love like Big Bear and Mammoth and going skiing and just like the like being around a fireplace and you know what I mean? Like that vibe.
Jess, you like Big Bear? Oh, you're just going to think that's so cute when you see the mountains that I'm from. You're going to be that's like, that's the cutest little hill.
I know, Jocelyn. That's why you've invited me. And Bowie and I will for sure come up there eventually. Oh, because
you have an open invite, girls. Like, trust me, it is. Like, it's so cool to me that like being in LA, how many people I would say I'm from Alberta and they'd be like, oh, Banff. I was like, yeah, I guess Banff is so famous because it's just like shockingly beautiful. I love where I come from.
Well, Bowie, have you been to Banff?
Yeah, and that's funny you say that because even when you said Calgary, I guess I would have flown into Calgary, did I?
Yep.
But I have been to Banff. I freaking love it. It's beautiful.
I mean, because you're from Australia, right?
Yeah.
Yeah.
But I go to Mammoth a lot.
Fucking love Banff. Like, it's literally more Australians than Canadians in Banff.
Yeah. I worked a season at Whistler as well.
Amazing. Of course you did.
I loved so many Aussies there. Ridiculous.
Wait,
so
Bowie, did you like it better than like Mammoth? Because we love Mammoth, but like
Bowie,
well,
come
it's
on.
Different. It's different because Mammoth is sort of at the bottom of the mountain, and Banff, you sort of drive there to the mountain, right?
Yeah,
yeah. So that's the difference. But the actual town of Banff is really, really cool. It's a lot bigger than Mammoth.
Oh, cool.
But what I do love about Banff is at Lake Louise, one of them, they have like a bar at the bottom, which is very important, and you sit outside and have a bar.
Very important.
You have like a barbecue. It's so cool. Like, and you drink outside, so you ski down and drink. Love it.
Well, that's and have you? I think it's Lake Louise has a bar that's like in the middle of the mountain. So like, there's a certain like lift that you take up, and then you ride that to another lift, and there's like a bar. It's so cool.
I think
cool.
It might be there. Yes, that's what I'm thinking of. I was like, this and that. The music playing. I was like,
love it.
Yeah, like.
So funny. All right. Well, I'm so happy we've got a snow, Bowie. That's
yeah,
our first,
girl.
That's our first God. Snow. Thank God, Jocelyn. We love you. All right. Next question then would be, headlining or opening?
Either.
Yes, we agree.
I have had a really, really challenging time getting on the road. That's been like the most discouraging part of my career. And it's been really eye-opening that I have like 5 or 6 radio singles that have done really well here. And like, I still can't seem to get on the road without losing a bunch of money.
Touring is expensive. Yeah.
So many artists are in the same boat. Like, people don't realize that. They're like, oh, you've made it. And I'm like, have I? It's really expensive making it.
I know it is expensive.
You know, so I just, you know, and especially like being home in this time, like, I'm just realizing how lucky I am to have played a single show in my life, let alone like at the level that I'm playing at. I'd take any show, really. I'm just grateful to get out there and play.
Yeah, absolutely. Like you can get on a tour where you're playing to maybe, you know, maybe you would do a headline tour to 500 or 1,000 or 2,000, but if you get for an opening gig to 10, 20,000, who knows? You know what I mean?
Totally.
So much more exposure. So benefits to both.
Well, next question, CrossFit or yoga?
So I actually do like a pretty 50-50 mix of that. I'm no Jess Bowen. I'm not like fucking ripping weights in the gym or anything, but I'm, you know, like I'll do like a quick 15-20 minute, like jumping squats and shit like that. And then I tend to like balance that out every other day with yoga. I've been a yogi for, you know, 14-15 years now. And
oh, wow.
I'm big in yoga. Yeah. So both.
We're hopeless at yoga.
We're bad at yoga, Jocelyn. We've tried it.
We try.
Well, I've told you before though, Jess, we've had this conversation that like the reason, like you not being flexible or you feeling like you're like not good at it is like totally the reason that you should do it.
Yeah.
And especially because you're like strength training, like you really need to make sure that you're like taking care of those muscles. Cause
yeah,
so true. Bowie
and I will get back to it once everything is open again and whatever. We'll try it because a lot of people have told us, yes, yoga is good for us as CrossFitters.
It's so good for anxiety too. Like it just has changed my head. And I know we've both talked about that too. Like it's so easy, especially in this industry, I think. And especially when you guys are living in LA, like it's such an anxious city.
Yes.
So to find, you know, anything that can ground yourself, I think is so, so amazing.
100% agree with that for sure. Well then the last question, is this me, Bowie? I'm doing the last one.
Yeah.
What is on your rider? Like what do you have on your rider or what would you want on your rider if like
I have the dorkiest things ever, like the dorkiest things. First of all, I always have green juice and
oh, that's great. Why is that dorky? That's
they
amazing.
Never get it for me though. Like
because it's like $12 a bottle.
Yeah, or like I'm in like a small town and they're like, what is that? I don't know.
You're very LA, see?
Yeah, there you go. So LA.
Now, like I've heard about riders that also have like tons of booze on them and like I'm not like super into that either. Like generally it's like hummus and like chips and like it's really boring. Maybe a bottle of like red wine. The last gig that I actually played in Calgary, I walk in and like I think because like it's my hometown, they really took care of me and they had all these like gluten-free sandwiches. They had green juice. Aww. They had gluten-free beer for me, dude. I was like, bro.
Oh my God. So like they, because you obviously specify your allergy on your rider.
Yeah, but like hardly ever do they actually have the time to go out and find right. these things. And I also kind of feel guilty even asking for it, honestly. So like when they have it, I'm just like, wow, I'm so touched in the heart, you know?
That's awesome.
That's so cute. Oh man. Well, that is that's the last question. Yeah, Bowie? That's it?
Yeah.
Yeah. Well, okay. Jocelyn, we love that you were on. Thank you so much. You are amazing. For the listeners, do you want to give them your social media like handles, maybe your Instagram, Twitter, whatever you feel like you where people can find you and find out what you're up to. Keep up with you.
Yeah. You can catch me at I Am Jocelyn Alice pretty much on all the platforms.
Perfect.
And thank you guys for like creating a show like this. It's really refreshing.
Yeah.
Aww, thank you for being on. Jocelyn.
You're great. And yeah, we will tag all, we'll also put the your social media you know, on our posts and stuff so people can find you. And yeah. Thank you so much. You're amazing. I love you. It was so great catching up with you. I'm glad you and Bowie got to meet on this podcast.
We're best mates now.
I know. You guys are just like, you're such a great team together. Like great job. This was so
thank
fun.
Thank you. We're gonna thank come you. We're gonna come visit you in Calgary and go to Banff all three of us, all right?
Literally, I've got places you can sleep. We're gonna do it anytime. Just come.
Yeah. Perfect.
Whenever it's fucking legal again. Can't wait to see you guys.
When it's legal again, we will be there.
thanks so much, Jocelyn.
I'll see you guys later.
Bye.